what a joy it is to come on June the 28th. And guess what? This is our last Sunday as your pastoral family here at the Bethel United Methodist Church. My official date that I turn over the ministry to Ellie Fox, our new pastor, is June the 30th, and she takes over on July the 1st. So it's a wonderful way that we do transitions within our denomination. As you've heard me say many times, we don't have the best or the worst denomination, but we got a pretty good one that works, especially when it comes to the itinerant ministry and pastoral changes. But I want to take this opportunity to bring you a message of thanks for the small acts and the big acts of kindness for this preacher and his family. We are certainly been honored by the people here at the Bethel United Methodist Church. And, you know, you maybe have heard this phrase, it's the little things that count. Well, they certainly do, but all things count, right? So, but anyhow, this little insignificant phrase, it's the little things that count, became popular in the late 1800s and the early 1900s when it resounded loudly with a rapidly changing English-speaking world. And that phrase became the catchphrase of the time, and it defined a newly developing end to a culture trend. Everybody repeated it like a mantra. It's the little things that count, even authors who employed it in their writings. But what gave this little phrase such an impact? The Industrial Revolution? I don't know. 19th century focus on thriftiness due to the rise of the middle class during the years created and a new and urgent emphasis on small but very significant things, occasional but meaningful gifts, good manners, small kinds of small habits and kindness that define one's character. But living a disciplined lifestyle and maintaining responsibility of household management became a matter of cultural pride for the middle-class families in our society. Now, I think there's a reason for that. Because as followers of Jesus, we know that Jesus' method of evangelism requires simply proclaiming Jesus' salvation, his healing, his blessing, acting with a sense of acceptance and kindness and love towards all people. Jesus began the movement that his disciples would call the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. And certainly Jesus became the Word, and the Word became the way. He manifested himself in the flesh, and he showed us a changing way of helping people's lives, one heart, one healing at a time. So for Jesus, acting out on a humble place of faith, love, and loyalty to God would pretty much define the way a disciple should pattern his or her life. Small acts of kindness and love and inclusion, gracefulness, would characterize what it meant to be a follower of Christ. And later in Matthew's gospel, Jesus would admonish some of the Pharisees over their misinterpretation of management of God's law. Yeah, Jesus states, does not refer to legalism, but to behaving in a just manner, showing mercy to God's people and living a life faithful to God and God's love for others. He refers to the prophet Micah in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? Well, it's to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. In fact, in regard to the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. The Hebrew word Shema means simply listen. It's a foundational Jewish prayer. Jesus would claim that only true law necessary to remember would be put God first and love neighbor as self. So when you practice this, he said, you know, you need to remember nothing else, for the rest will naturally follow. The emphasis for Jesus here is always on self. So, what does the Lord require of you and me? I think you should always act justly towards others. Yeah, you should love mercy and you should walk humbly with your God. So it's no wonder then that in our scripture that I read today emphasizes on the way Jesus' disciples need to practice and live their faith in him. And they should welcome. Yeah, they should do acts of service. They should act kindly. They should show mercy. And by this, Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, I love the buts and the ifs. If you love one another. John chapter 13, verse 35. For this is the way that Jesus' disciples lived out their faith. In the way of Jesus. I don't think that it takes starting a revolution for this to happen. No, I think it doesn't take bringing others down either. It doesn't take a sudden change with well, full swoop. No, it simply takes small acts of kindness. And by this, they, you and I, will change the world and reap the reward of God. So I want to tell you how much Judy and I appreciate our 10 years here at Bethel. Because you, as people of God here at the Bethel United Methodist Church, not only showed us small acts of kindness, you showed us all kind of love and grace, and we're grateful for that. Even when Judy was going through her cancer for the second time, you all reached out not only with prayers and love and support, but financial giving that helped us through that period of time. Praise be to God. She got the stem cell transplant, and it was a long period of time once the stem cell transplant was done, because it took months and months and months for that to take effect and that she started to heal again with a new DNA. Amazingly, they use her own stem cells to do this. So there was a period of time there, that 2-3 years, that she wasn't 100%, but you loved us, you cared for us, you supported us with your prayers, and we've been so grateful for these last 10 years here at Bethel. To be able to do ministry with you and to be able to show the community what it takes to do ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Ellie Fox is going to pick up the mantle as Judy and I step away from the ministry here at the Bethel United Methodist Church. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to know that the little church that had blessed Judy and I is going to continue to bless Ellie and this community. So what is the ministry of Bethel anyhow? I think it's very simple. It comes to proclaiming the salvation of Jesus and communicating the love of God to everyone that we meet through actions and not just mere words. I think that's what Matthew was telling us about Jesus' foundational teaching, that every action counts. Yes, every word, every kind word, every gracious deed, every inclusive gathering, every acknowledgement of prophecy or righteousness, every drink of water to somebody in need, and every mention of Jesus and his salvation gift. So I think the more little ways that you show the way your faith directs your life, the more you also will become the world that you want to be in. Yeah, it requires us to be Christ followers and to interpret and to follow the leading of Christ. Comes down to, you remember the WWJD, what would Jesus do? It comes down to this. Yeah, if we study God's word, we know what Jesus would do, but what would you do? What do you want it to? So I want to leave all of you here at Bethel with a challenge. To take the Jesus challenge and think each and every day on a few acts of kindness that you can practice, or even a few words of hope that you can offer to one another. You see, at the end of that time, and you think about what you've done, I think you'll know how it felt. But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. But most important of all, know that you have helped in your small way to begin to change the world for Christ. Well, the other day, Catherine Bluck Price, our district superintendent, wrote me a little note, and I want to share it with you because it's important about how we as pastors in the pastoral ministry of the United Methodist Church, because we are sent, not called, meaning, you know, some denominations, they'll get together and form a search committee, and they will interview pastors, and then they'll call them. Well, the way Wesley has set up our denomination is we are what we call itinerant pastors in the order of Jesus Christ, because he was an itinerant preacher. So the bishops and the people will qualify people to be pastors, and then they will put them together, and then all the churches that are part of our denomination, known as United Methodist, they will search and they'll try to find the right pastor for the church that they're sending them to. We have in the church what we call a pastoral committee, and they also give the bishops and the DSs information on the kind of preacher that they want. And through prayer and all the things of what it takes to be able to discern that, they come up and they send a pastor. In this case, Ellie Fox has been sent to take the pastoral role here at the Bethel United Methodist Church as I depart from the pastoral role of the Bethel United Methodist Church. So it was very appropriate when Catherine sent me a little note, and I want to share it with you because for not only that she's saying nice things about me, that was pretty cool, I thought, but she's also explaining what we as people of God, not only here at Bethel, but the congregation and the community, when a pastor steps away and a new pastor comes into focus. This is what she said. Dear Reverend Wrightstone, as we near the end of June the 1st, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your faithful service to Christ and the United Methodist Church, especially to Bethel United Methodist Church. You have been a blessing in many ways to the district and to the churches that you have served so faithfully. I wish you the best on your retirement. Well, I don't know about retirement, but we are stepping away, that's for sure. Each year, I tell all of our retiring clergy that I know it's difficult to say goodbye to a church family and the friends that you have made over the years. But in order for a successful transition, it's important to remember the incoming pastor needs time to get acquainted with the new church family without your presence at the church. So, she goes on to say, my strong recommendation is that for at least 1 year, you find another church of your choice where you can be nurtured and get involved with some type of ministry. This would be very beneficial to you as well as to the Bethel United Methodist Church. You can support the new pastor in getting to know and develop pastoral relationships with new members of these churches by refraining from participating in these churches for at least 1 year after you retire. Now, I would imagine you are aware there's some other United Methodist churches in the area, and especially in the area of Monticello where you live, and they're also faithful in their mission, and I think you would be able to find one where you can worship. And we have, and we will, in the Monticello area. She goes on to say, I appreciate the time that we have shared together serving the kingdom of God here in the Northwest District. I pray for your rest, your health, and your well-being, and your retirement. I don't know about retirement, because I've always told people I'm not going to retire until I hear the click of the pearly gates behind me, but I digress. She goes on to say, should you have any questions or concerns about this recommendation, please don't hesitate to contact the Northwest District Office. Grace and peace, Catherine Fluck Price. I just said that because I want you to know when Judy and I leave the Bethel United Methodist Church, not only are we don't want to stay away, but it is important that we do stay away so that Ellie and can be the pastor here at the church. That doesn't mean that we will not still have friendships and contact and so forth, but what it does mean, we won't be back to worship with you. But you'll always be in our hearts and in our prayers. So with that said, thank you for coming and participating on our last Sunday here at the Bethel United Methodist Church. I think we're having a little covered dish luncheon after the service. I'll hope and pray that you stay. And again, I just want to thank you how much Judy and I appreciate our ministry here at Bethel. And for all of you who've tuned in to the online service, it's been a joy for these last many years, especially since COVID, that Phil and I would be able to put together an order of worship that is very similar to a live worship service that you can tune in and get a message and maybe be encouraged. So we're grateful for that. I think that part will continue on with Ellie Fox's leadership. So thank you for loving us and caring for us, and we look forward to continuing with all of our friendships with many of you. And as we leave this area, just know that God loves you, and so do we. Have a blessed day.